Good evening. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the first half 2017 financial results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabrizio Rossini, Head of Investor Relations of Salini Impregilo. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Judy. Good afternoon and good morning, everyone, and welcome to Salini Impregilo First Semester 2017's Earnings Conference Call. Our call today is hosted by Pietro Salini, Chief Executive Officer. Joining him for the presentation are also Massimo Ferrari, CFO and General Manager, and Alessandro De Rosa, Deputy General Manager. Before we start our call, let me remind you of the usual housekeeping safe harbor notice. Any forward-looking statements embedded in today's presentation and conference call remarks are based on our current expectations and planning assumptions, subject to risks and uncertainties. The actual results may differ materially due to factors mentioned in the press release issued today and discussed in this call. Let me also remind you that the recording file of today's presentation will be available shortly after and can be accessed through the Investor Relations section of our website. After this brief introduction, I would like to turn the call over to Pietro Salini, CEO, for his presentation. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone, and good morning to those who are dialing in from the other side of the Atlantic. Thank you for taking the time to participate in this conference call on our results for the first half of the year 2017. Slide 3, the infrastructure market continues to remain solid and to provide plenty of business opportunities. We can rely on a very strong pipeline of commercial activity with more than 40 billion between tenders awaiting outcome, tenders preparation and pre-qualification. However, simply growing is not enough. We decided to carefully select where we want to grow, and we are committed to reduce the overall risk profile of the company by employing a rigorous process of project selection, by expanding in lower risk areas such as the US, and by reducing the incidence of the top 10 projects on total revenues. Once again, our group has proven its ability to win contracts, deliver on its projects, and meet its target. It has also demonstrated its knowledge of the market, taking key strategic decisions at the right moment. Our first semester results showed good progress across all metrics. New order year to date, including variation orders, it almost 4 billion euros, half of which was made by Lane, which showed an increase of almost 60% year on year on a standalone basis. Lane entered the Salini Impregilo perimeter only 1.5 year ago, but since then we have been able to increase our backlog by 40%, passing the 3 billion threshold. Consolidated revenues increased double digit year on year, making us confident to reach the 10% target set for 2017. Lane revenues grew an outstanding 27% and now represents 26% of total group sales, on course to hit the 30% level by the end of the year, which initially represented our goal for 2019. But in the first half, we grew not only in revenues, but also EBITDA and EBIT progressed very well, growing respectively by 14% and 12% versus first half 2016, and showing the operating result we set to build up progressively as the business developed. Our bottom line grew a healthy 48% year on year. Finally, we strive always to preserve a balanced and fine-tuned financial structure. On this line, we managed to improve our financial position by 51 million in respect of the same period of the prior year and to preserve our gross debt roughly at a comparable level, supporting the significant growth we reported in our revenues. We reconfirm our business plan target to generate cash this year and with that to bring down the gross debt. Slide 4. On the next slide, you will see some of the major projects currently undergoing. In Riyadh, we are building the longest line for what will become one of the biggest metro networks in the world. Work is half finished. Another metro line nearby Doha is nearly completed, and I must emphasize that our work is progressing without disruption, despite the situation in the region. It will be completed next year. In Copenhagen, our biggest project in Europe, we are building a metro line that encircles the city center. It is also nearly finished at 89% and will be delivered to the customer next year. The Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam is progressing well with 60% of the project completed. In California, a state where we were willing to further expand our business, construction of this replacement bridge at Long Beach is halfway to completion. Lastly, there is the Rogun Dam in Tajikistan, which we started at the end of last year. It's a very interesting and complex project that may bring further loss from the Asian consumers. Slide 5, strong pipeline of commercial activity. Turning to slide 5, I want to stress that we can count on a very strong pipeline of commercial activity spread out across the globe. The U.S. resulted the region where we acquired the largest share of contracts, while Europe showed the highest value of project awaiting outcome. Overall, we can boast an ample and balanced array of projects already in the tenders pipeline or to be finalized. Based on this business opportunity, we are confident to meet book-to-bill target of our business plan. Slide 6, first half new orders. In the next slide, we report the list of new orders year to date. We had an outstanding performance so far this year, reaching already circa 4 billion of new orders out today. Slide 7, our strong backlog ensures business plan execution. Page 7 shows our solid backlog has remained a constant for the last couple of years. While lane performance has been excellent so far, reaching a record backlog of 3 billion during the first half of the year, and we expect it to do more than double by 2019. The excellent backlog level we have been able to acquire over the years already granted more than 80% of the business plan revenues. Slide 8, improving risk profile. The figures on page 8 show how the United States has become our single biggest market in terms of revenues. We expect to generate 30% out of our total revenues from this region by the end of this year. The expansion in the U.S. is helping us to reduce the overall risk profile, and it also helps us to secure a better cash generation. We are also progressing in improving the risk profile by bringing down the share of our top 10 projects, which so far decreased from 66% that was in 2014 to 49% in the first half of 2017. We expect to decrease it further to 45% by the end of this year. Slide 9, lane upside. On slide 9, let's turn to consider lane's performance. New orders rose nearly 60% year-on-year to 1.9 billion euros, which is more than 80% of what was expected for the entire year. Lane order backlog has grown 20%, reaching a record high of 3 billion euros by the end of June. As for revenues, they increased by 27% to 781 million euros from the same period in 2016. And we expect revenues for the second half of 2017 to accelerate due to seasonal factors, especially in plants and paving business, for which the more productive period is the second half of the year. You will remember that Lane is the largest privately owned producer of materials for road paving, and he also acquired a new asphalt plant in Virginia. Slide 10, strategy evolution. The final slide of my presentation illustrates about our strategy going forward. The United States will remain our single biggest market, and we plan to keep expanding there. Not considering the U.S. administration plan to invest $1 trillion in infrastructure, their market is very promising and it's growing. The FAST Act passed by the previous administration, consisting of $305 billion for transport infrastructure projects financing for 5 years, is starting to produce its effects. Most of the infrastructure investment will go to at a state level. California has already approved a 5-year plan, which has a budget of $43 billion for infrastructure for road, rail, air, and sea travel. Virginia has recently launched $18 billion of infrastructure investment, and this has been excellent news to us since Lane has a strong position in the region. Besides improving the risk profile and ensures a healthy expansion of our business, the other important commitment of our business plan is that of improving our cash flow generation that will grow thanks to the operational improvement and the better efficiency below the EBIT line. Expansion in new business segment and continuing the asset optimization process while keeping a strict control on the financial structure will contribute towards the goal we set. I thank you for listening to my presentation. I would now let Massimo Ferrari, our Chief Financial Officer, to review our results in further detail with you.
Thank you very much, Pietro, and good afternoon or good morning, everybody. We closed another 6 months results in line with our expectation and the business plan, slightly better than the consensus, which shows the engagement of our people and the commitment of top management towards the target we set for this year. Let us take a look first at our key financials for the first half of 2017. On slide 12, you can have a look at the P&L, where we reported a very good growth exceeding 12% versus 2016 first half figures, resulting in line with our expectation and, as I mentioned before, slightly above market consensus. This rate of growth will probably result higher than that of our major competitors. Our main projects are running according to schedule with the contribution expected by the management and in our budget. Our EBITDA, which closed at 284 million, grew by 14% versus the first half of 2016, while the EBITDA margin resulted at 9.3%, comparing favorably to the 9.1% reached on the same period last year. EBIT amounted to 137 million, increasing 12% vis-à-vis the 2016 results, in line with first half revenues growth. EBIT margin reached 4.5%, the same level reported for the same period last year, coherently with the typical seasonality, which sees a stronger second half due essentially to seasonal patterns and climatic reason, mainly referred to plants and paving business of Lane. Going down to P&L, net financing costs excluding Forex effect were 37 million, resulting lower by 21% than the corresponding period last year. In the first half of 2017, we accounted for Forex losses amounting to 49 million around as a consequence of the progressive weakening of the US dollar and the Ethiopian currency. These Forex losses refers to evaluation of assets, both current and fixed, and as such had no impact on group's cash flow. More specifically, as you can see in the slide, a portion of these losses refer to long-term receivables denominated in dollars or in the Ethiopian currency that have not been cashed in during the first half of the year, but were valued at the lower amount due to the depreciation of the denomination currency. On the other hand, another portion related to payments received in this currency, mainly in the Ethiopian one, that, however, had not been translated into euros. The tax rate was 39%, which showed an improvement versus the rate of the corresponding period last year. Minorities interest amounted to 15 million, also resulting lower than the amount in the first half of 2016, and refers mainly to Lane, Riyadh Metro, and the Red Line project. As a result of these elements, in addition to operational improvement, group's net income resulted in 17 million, showing an increase of around 50% versus first half 2016. Going forward, we are actually focusing on operational improvement to become more evident and to benefit our results. On slide 13, you can see our debt maturity profile, which shows the first relevant maturity in 2018, when the residual portion of our old bond, Salini, will come to expire, we are considering and we have on the table several options to refinance and extend the maturity of the financial debt in the second part of the year. Over the years, we worked to change significantly the composition of our debt facilities, increasing the fixed portion, which today represent over two-thirds of the corporate debt. Our commitment remains to lower progressively the gross debt and improve the gross debt EBITDA ratio, which will greatly improve our chances to become investment grade at the end of the business plan. On slide 14, you can see also the progress that we made in our asset optimization. As we made also last year when we bought the paving unit arm for Lane in Virginia Beach, we are also considering to optimize our asset structure by disposing units of our business that are not strategic for the group. Along this line, we have already realized, after the end of the first half, the sale of two concessions business located in UK that will impact our P&L in the second half of the year, realizing a gain of 6 million and improving the net financial position by 23 million. The asset optimization process, part of our long-term strategy, will continue impacting positively our P&L, with share of contracts and concession already in second half of the year and over the coming years. On slide 15, you can see the cash flow comparison between the first half 2017 and the first half 2016. The operating free cash flow before dividends and acquisition for the first semester 2017 was better than what we generated in the first semester 2016 by 185 million as a result of better operational leverage by 44 million, less cash absorption by working capital of 113 million, and lower capex of 37 million. Notwithstanding the accomplished double-digit growth, we were able to slightly improve the net financial position, and Pietro mentioned before. I close my speech confirming the guidance for 2017 and giving the floor to the Q&A section.
Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Alessandro Tortora from Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening to everybody. I have three questions, if I may. The first one is on, let's say, the cash generation that we saw in this first part of the year. What I would like to understand, looking at the lower capex that you mentioned, but also the higher cash generation from working capital, if what levels of capex and also net working capital we can basically project for, let's say, the full year. So if you can give us an update on the capex level that you expect, for instance, for this year, and if you also confirm the idea to have a net working capital overall unchanged or touch better than last year level. The second question is on the financial charges. I saw a level a bit better than last year, so if you can also update what's your forecast for the full year on this line. The last point is on the negative impact we see in the line of the Forex. I also see in the presentation some impact from Venezuela. Are these receivable in US dollar denominated? Are these in local currency? Just have an idea of basically what is happening there, because clearly these are, let's say, problematic receivable. Thanks.
Thank you, Alessandro. Starting from the CapEx, we expect to have a CapEx for 2017, just to give you a range, around 250-300 million for the year. We benefited in the first half also from some disposals that come from the efficient management of CapEx that started in 2016. We confirm the target in terms of net working capital, maintaining around the same level that we had for the full year 2016. For the financial charges, we expect around 70 million of financial charges for the full year. Net, for sure.
Net, yeah. 70, okay.
Regarding the forex effect coming from Venezuela, this came from receivables denominated in dollars.
Okay, and just if I make clarification, so assuming basically lower capex than your expectation, working capital overall unchanged, the minor impact of the non-core assets that we should see in the second part. Basically, why the company is confirming the net debt indication for this year? Because doing the sum of these aspects, you should do, let's say, better for sure of last year net debt level. Thanks.
We are still committed to reduce the gross debt for the full year.
But also, let's say, with all these factors, you should also, let's say, improve the net debt picture.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you,
Alessandro.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Giuseppe Mappelli with Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I have two questions. The first one is on EBIT margin. I saw that you reached 4.5% in the first half. I would like to understand what are the projections for 2017. We know that, but also on 18, if we should consider an improvement to reach the 19. So some flavor on the projection on that front. And then the second question is on minorities. I saw that minorities were lower than first half of 2016. If I remember well, you were projecting minorities for 17 in a region of 56 million euros. Can you confirm that figure? Thank you.
Thank you, Giuseppe. Regarding the minorities, probably we could end the year in the lower range that we disclosed. So probably more close to 50. Regarding the EBIT margin, we confirm what we disclosed and we stated as target for 17 and also as a projection for 18 and 19. As you know, there are so many components on the EBIT, most of them under our responsibility, for instance, the general expenses, the capex management, the working capital also, other effect comes from the business development and the operations. But we confirm the path that we had in our projections also for 18 and 19.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Alessandro Tortora with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening again. Just if I may, a question on, let's say, the commercial opportunity that the company sees in the U.S. If I understood well, in the past you mentioned that there is the option to work a bit more on the maintenance of some bigger projects. I can easily refer to dams, but even bridges. So what I would like to understand is if this is something that we just have To have in mind, is something that is the company consider a short-term opportunity, or is it basically just something that could materialize in the next 2, 3, 4 years? Thanks.
No, it's Pietro Serini speaking. You know,
yes.
What we expect that the market growth will, of course, give the numbers that are necessary to accomplish to the business plan.
Mm-hmm.
What we also will look at is special opportunities. Let's say that a company that has the experience and the competence of Serini and Pregiro, of course, can be an important resources to the U.S. market for doing what is necessary. If you have seen the 14,000 dams that are under risk of collapsing,
mm-hmm.
Need somebody which is capable to handle things like that. So I think that there is a huge market even beyond which has been looked at to draw the business plan figures. So for the time being, we reconfirm the actual figures for Lane, which means doubling its size during the lifespan of the plan. So reaching.
Mm-hmm.
Around 3 billion of turnover for the end of the plan. But of course, in case this special situation, I would call them, arise, well, this will of course will change the dimension of what is expected now. But we do not put this into our calculation for the business plan, of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Bruno Permutti with Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I have some questions. The first one is related to the non-core assets you're going to dispose. So I would like to understand if in your target for net debt improvement by year end, you are already discounting the possible cash in from these assets, and if looking at the second half of the year for the other assets in Italy, we can imagine something similar to the already disposed assets, or if there are substantial differences between the what you are going to sold and what you already told us in the presentation. So I mean, what could be the without it is obvious that you probably can't say the amount, but only to understand if it is something substantial or something similar to the already announced disposals. Then, if it is possible, on the Forex, if for the second half of the year you have an idea of if there could be other possible foreign exchange losses. So how do you see the dynamic of this item in the coming months? The last one concerned the Lane's joint ventures. I would like to understand if I have well seen the contribution in the first half was lower than the first half of 2016. I would like to understand what could be the outlook for the second half of the year for the joint ventures.
Thank you, Bruno. So starting from the disposal and the optimization strategy, we expect to have some material effect in terms of capital gain from the asset that we are going to dispose. We just signed it, and we will have the closing we expect on September on an asset related to the construction business. we are working on other assets abroad that could have a more significant effect, but I'm not in a position to forecast when we will have an agreement. Of course, we already put the resources and the cash in coming from the disposal in our target for the gross debt reduction for 2017. Regarding the Forex disposal, it's mainly, if not only, due to the dollar-euro exchange rate. And moving to Lane, we have in the first half the same results that we had in 2016. We are not far from the same results. We expect a significant improvement coming from the development of revenues, mainly from the plant small project business that is very, very seasonal.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bruno. Judith, next question, please.
The next question is from Alessandro Poggi with Banca Aletti. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my question. Basically, I have only one, which has to do with the Forex impact accounted for below the interest rates accrued line. About this, you mentioned that there's no monetary impact, but then you said that it's long-term receivables, I'm quoting you, which have not been cashed in yet. So I presume the impact will have to be taken at some time on your books. And I would also like to understand better when you mentioned payments in Ethiopian currency, if such payments are current, so they refer to work which is ongoing, and in that case, if we are to expect further negative items on future payments, that is in semester two. The final question is the following one. That means that your currency risk is not covered on US dollar payments from Venezuela, which you mentioned, nor on payments from Ethiopia regarding the works which have led to the booking of this Forex impact. I hope I was clear, but I'm here if you need any clarification. Thank you.
Okay, you understood very well on the long-term credit coming from Venezuela. We cannot hedge this kind of risk in terms of Forex hedging. Otherwise, we are going to take a speculative position with a significant cost with a long-term credit that we have in the balance sheet. For the Ethiopian currency, it's very easy. We got a payment in local currency before the end of the first half, and we didn't use this amount of money, but we are going to use, and probably we already used in July, so we cannot have a recurrent effect on this amount that is close to, higher than 100 million euro equivalent. So you can imagine the payment that we got are so significant that if we got before the end of the period, we can have a short-term accounting effect.
Okay, it's still not clear for me. I mean, you got this payment in Ethiopian currency and you said you haven't spent it yet. So that means that you intend to use that currency for your local costs. Is that correct?
That's right. We have to use according
to... Okay, so your profit is in the Ethiopian currency or not? So you at the end of the day, when you have to book all costs and all revenues, what you're left with is in beer or is it in euros?
Our profit is in euro, so according to the contract, we have to use the local currency for cost in local currency. So as we mentioned many times, we are pretty well hedged in terms of local currency.
Okay.
Okay.
So that should mean that if we, and I hope I understood well, but if you look at a longer period of time, this negative effect should not be there, whereas the one from Venezuela will always be there so long as the US dollar depreciates.
That's right. If you look at our balance sheet...
So would you say that the permanent negative item, potentially negative item on your P&L is the exposure to Venezuela, which is something you share with other players in the sector, by the way?
That's right, because the most important part of our long-term and slow rotation credit come from Venezuela.
Okay. Okay. Can you please remind the total amount of long-term and short-term receivables that you have on your books from that country?
We have around, the latest currency rate, 240 million.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you, Alessandro.
The next question is from Andrea Balloni with Fidentiis. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I have just one question on my side. If I look at your slide number 15, I see that your free cash flow absorption is to the tune of 300 million euro. But your net debt worsened compared to the end of last year by around 430 million euro. I guess that a part of this difference can be explained by dividend distribution, which should be to the tune of 30 million euro, if I'm not wrong. But maybe you can help me explaining which is the remaining part of the difference.
Sorry, Alessandro, I didn't get your point. Can you repeat,
so,
please?
Your net debt increased by around 430 million euro compared to the end of last year. Okay. In the slide number 15, you have mentioned a free cash flow absorption, which is to the tune of 300 million euro. So there is a difference of around 130 million euro in terms of cash absorption of worsening of debt. And a part of this, I guess, it can be explained by dividend distribution, which increased compared to last year. But I don't get the remaining part of this difference.
Meaning the difference at the 301...
compared to 430.
You mean the explanation of the bridge that we made?
Basically, yes, but so my point is that your first half of free cash flow absorption is around 300 million euro, as you have mentioned in the slide.
Okay.
But your net debt increased by
400. I got the point. There are dividends, as you mentioned, dividends to minorities, equity investment, other net equity variations that are around 70.
Okay, so which is the amount of equity investments?
26 dividend to shareholders.
Okay.
Dividend to minorities 23, and other net equity variation.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you so much.
The next question is from Grégoire Thibault with Natixis. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Three remaining questions. The first one is to come back on Lane. You're quite happy with the activity and the order intake. could you be a bit more specific regarding the total profitability of Lane? Were you able to increase in H1 the profitability? And what about in terms of a free cash flow generation? I think that's a big target for you coming from Lane. So that's the first point, maybe more profitability and free cash flow under the Lane angle. The second question is regarding the total order intake of the group. You have 4 billion euros in H1 17, 2 excluding Lane. Last year in H1 16, you had 7 billion euros of order intake, 6 billion euros excluding Lane. So finally, you had 6 billion euros last year, only 2 this year. I just wanted to understand if it's a voluntary path from your side. Is it to be more specific, to be more selective in your order intake? And finally, the last question, I could read in some French newspapers that you are interested in bidding for the Grand Paris project. Could you just let us know maybe which kind of profitability you expect on this big contract of Grand Paris project, on what makes you comfortable to think to be able to win some projects in quite, let's say, close markets? Thank you.
Well, my Massimo makes all the calculation of the very different questions you put forward at the same time. I will answer probably before on the Grand Paris, that I understand is something that is close to you. And the Metro of Paris, of course, is a very important market for us. It is a limited market in the sense that when it will be over, there will be no other very important works in the area. So the magnitude of the Grand Paris, it is now something that we have in front of us. We submitted a lot of offers in all of the offers so far that were floated by the client. As you say, France is a very, very close market, but we are insisting. And, you know, perseverance at the end pays. So we are one of the most knowledgeable builders of metro lines, and we think that at the end, also a difficult client will recognize this capability. And we need this capability because the works are so huge that the local capability will be exhausted very quickly. Then I will put the floor to Massimo to answer to all the questions.
Thank you, Pietro.
Okay, Grégoire, regarding the new orders, we got probably less than 2016 ex-Lane, as a Salini ex-Lane. But as you know, we are bidding for so large projects, apart the Grand Paris Metro, but also around the world, we are bidding for very large projects. And if we got some of that, we can achieve very rapidly the target that we had. In the past 4 years, we always got the target in terms of new orders. And of course, we are working very hard also in terms of selection, risk management in terms of the new bidding order process. So we can be also selective because we covered 100% of the revenues for 2017, and we are close to cover 80% of the remaining cumulated revenues for 2018 and 2019. Moving to Lane, we expect an overall EBIT margin around 2.5% for 2017, but of course we have to take in consideration the great and significant increase of new orders that ask for investment on people and knowledge, and we have to follow the commercial growth of Lane. Lane is free cash flow positive. We have a net financial position around 122 million euro equivalent. We expect free cash flow generation around 30 million in 2000, in a range between 30-50 million in 2017.
Okay, thank you.
Grégoire.
Thank you very much, Grégoire.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you, Judith. That concludes our call for today. We thank everybody for your participation and wish you all a pleasant evening. Thank you.